Here we go with the John Curley, Sherry Elicker Show. Sherry back tomorrow. Greg Talman in today. Great to have everybody coming along. Don't forget, one of you get a chance to be letter of the day. Great honor to you. That's chosen by the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. It's non-transferable, but it is something that you could brag about for ages. 1-888-973-5476, Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line.
So that blooming period for the cherry blossoms lasts 14 days.
Hang on, I gotta.
And
dive.
Then they make a major
dive,
mess.
I gotta dive in. Really, you're gonna crap all over the cherry
They're
blossoms?
They're beautiful for 14 days, and then it's just a mess, right?
A mess.
Someone in my neighborhood has leaves. Them. They look glorious today. I will give them that. They have that short window.
They even look beautiful on the ground, though.
No.
Come on. It's all white.
Let me say something. 14 days is good. If they're up for like 3 months, people are like, cherry blossoms are out.
Whatever.
Right. So you pretty, only get 50-some days of sunshine. So you get a sunny day. Oh, my gosh. Mount Rainier's out. Everybody gets all excited.
Point taken.
St. James Cathedral. They're beautiful right now.
Okay.
Right by the house.
Hey, we're trying to do, you know, we don't do religious things here.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Duly noted.
St. Paddy's Day came and went for me. I didn't get a chance to celebrate it all, but I was in Huntington Beach, California, and I watched a bunch of drunk people walk around with the shirts on, you know, kiss me, I'm Irish. Or
like
me.
St. Patrick would have wanted.
Exactly. It was all Irish. My brother told me a story yesterday. He went over to a neighbor's house down the street. Didn't know these people very well, but knew them as neighbors. And they're all sitting around drinking and telling stories. And, of course, everybody, I'm 14% Irish, whatever. So his wife commented that on the way home, walking back to the house, Chuck, why didn't you engage more in the conversation? Why didn't you tell a story? Everybody's telling stories. It's like an Irish tradition, tell stories. And my brother said, I would if there was some standard for what is a good story. And then what happened was, Chuck then analyzed it as a lawyer. He loves to stuff things that never happened. Like he finds celebrities that tell stories. We've told the story before. And then he just takes it apart, does research on it, and then finds out it never happened. He's like, why do people tell the story? So these neighbors are telling these stories, and one of them, he said, what happened was the first guy tells a story which has maybe a kernel of truth, and the rest of it is just all crap. Then what happens, once the bar is set, then every story above that has to be better, right?
Right.
So then it has to even more. So now we've gone from a kernel of truth to zero truth. So, you ready? And here's the question for you. If you were sitting there and the guy told me, because my brother, as a lawyer, used to do this to me all the time. I would be telling some story at dinner time. Then went over to Leo Holt's house. I was riding around in his go-kart. My brother goes, so let me get this straight. You left the fair at our Mother Good Counsel. You walked home.
Gosh.
And by the time you got home, because you said you left around 7:30. By the time you got home, it was 8 o'clock.
You said, what, are you a lawyer?
Then he's like, so you ride in the go-kart? Yeah. Huh. So by the time you got it started, you said it was 9. Are there headlights on this go-kart? Because it does. So you're
killing the flow here, man.
Right, I know, but he would do that. He'd take the story apart, right? And so I was surprised he didn't do it to this guy. Here's the story. Guy goes, yeah, so I'm flying wherever he's going. And I'm on the plane, and all of a sudden, they open the door, and then these two security guards come onto the plane. Two cops come onto the plane, and they're talking to me, and I'm talking. I'm trying to speak in, you know, low voice, and cops are in low voice and stuff. And I stood up, and I said to everybody in the plane was full. I said, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm coming back. You know, mark my words, I'm coming back. And then he says, they had me in the interview. They took me into this other room for like two and a half hours. And they're asking me all these questions. But apparently they had me mixed up with somebody else. They had the name mixed up with somebody else. So after 2.5 hours, they opened the door of the plane and they let me go back on again. When I walked in, everybody's cheering and high-fiving me. And I'm walking back to my seat. And they're like, woo, yeah. They're all drinking and happy and they're singing and they're high-fiving. All right, all right. I was like, all right. And we ended up flying to wherever he's going, Chicago. And I said to Chuck, there is no way that happened. There's no way that happened, right? Because first, it was like 2.5 hours, the plane is sitting at the gate while they take some guy off. But he had to make himself the hero of the story where he came back onto the plane.
Right.
And everyone's high-fiving him and cheering him on. And they're all drunk. And they're like, well, all right, you're back. He said you'd come back. You're back. He's sitting there going, I said, didn't you want to just like take the story apart? He goes, I don't know him that well. And I thought, you know what? If I do that, then no one else tells a story because then all of a sudden here's this guy calling these things out.
Right.
But if you were sitting there, would you be like, wow.
I think one of the reasons that we embellish when we tell stories is because you're taking a risk. You're putting yourself out there.
You're on the stage.
And if you have the floor.
Yes.
And you have a couple people listening to you, the pressure is on to deliver.
Yes.
And then you realize some people get halfway through it and go, this isn't going to pay off the way I want it to.
Right, because you feel the audience.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And you start to feel the judgment because there is nothing worse than telling a story and then
you stop the
silence,
whole party. Yeah, yeah.
And everybody has the collective, that's it, thought in their head. Because yes. You've been in situations like that where you're like, oh, when this guy gets going, it's a nightmare because his stories never pay off.
Yes.
And then so if you're kind of good and creative at you know, unfolding a plot line, you think, oh, I've got three or four things I can add to this. Because the main point is that we're all having a good time at the table.
Yes.
And we're having a good time if you're laughing, if your eyes get wider when I divulge this plot. It's not about whether the story is totally true or not, and that's a tale as old as time. I mean, the people have been embellishing stories.
Well, we use the term shine the apple. So there is basically an apple. You're going to shine the apple up. You're going to add a few things. So rather than the fish being 2 feet long, it's 14 feet long, right? You extend a few of the facts in order to add some elements to it. That's a classic Irish thing, right? You add a couple of things, you sort of spin it up a little bit. But in this case, Chuck says he launched into the thing, but there were so many giant questionable pieces to it that you're not entertaining the people. At that point, the people are like, now you're just lying. Like, there's no payoff.
Your brother is a notorious apple D-shiner.
Oh, D-shiner.
That's what he does.
Right. That's what he does for a living. Gets people up on the stand. He's like, so when you got back to the house, you're saying that the door was open?
There's a worm in this apple.
How'd you get in the house? Right. Yeah. He loves to see take it apart on the stand.
Mm-hmm. Which is not so fun at parties,
but as a lawyer, you know, you talk to anybody, whatever he does for a living, then he's just, you jump into that character.
Yep. Okay,
but he let it go.
Right.
And it's like, first of all, no plane is going to sit at the gate for 2.5 hours. And why would the people be excited that he's back?
Yeah, you made us wait 2 hours.
2.5 hours.
Yeah, cool.
Right. Yeah.
Folks, we don't have a gate available to us. There seems to be another plane that's been sitting there, so we're going to have to find a different gate.
Yeah, because there's a gate sitting, there's a plane sitting for 2.5 hours. And Chuck goes, so then the guy had to make his triumphant return back into the plane just like Jesus coming right, and the people are laying the palms there. So, you know, religious thing.
Easter season,
laying palms as he enters there, and they'd
be stoning him if that really happened.
Yeah. 3 days later, hang him on a cross. It's like, but this guy, they were cheering me, like, whoa, and they're buying me drinks. Oh yeah, they're buying you drinks. Yeah, I mean, checks us, and I'm just sitting there like, it wasn't even like a good story. It's the whole thing was just made. The next guy had to come up with another one. And that point is just absurd.
So I'm going to top them all. Andrew, do you have any Irish fiddle music you can put behind this? I'm going to tell the story of how my St. Patrick's Day unfolded. And one of the details I'm going to embellish for
effect. How did Andrew have that music so fast?
I knew he would.
Irish. He's the best.
I knew he would.
You guys are conspiring.
Over there by his pot of gold. So yesterday.
Yellow moons.
I mean, my wife and I go all out for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
So one of my kids is at a birthday party, and birthday party gets done with, and my wife's out with the other two kids, and we meet up at home, and she said, what's for dinner? And I said, I hadn't thought about it. Maybe we can heat up the 3 bags of Trader Joe's gnocchi and do that for our St. Patrick's Day. And she said, that sounds like a good plan. And then I heated it up, and one kid said they were full from the birthday party, so they didn't want to eat dinner, and the other two ate it. That's how we spent our St. Patrick's Day. Which detail did I embellish?
So you're saying you had 3 bags of gnocchi.
Did I just kill the flow?
Now you know the rest of the story.
That was it. We get wild. For this rich tradition in the
Dahlman
household.
We should do at least
one
new story.
Were you drunk? Is that why you pronounced it? How'd you pronounce it?
Gnocchi?
It's gnocchi.
Oh, please.
Is it really?
Gnocchi. No, Andrew?
It's gnocchi.
I don't think so.
Gnocchi.
Well, no one can guess the detail. It was actually 2 bags of gnocchi, not 3.
Didn't I say how many? Yeah, I said you had 3.
Wow.
And now you know the rest of the story.
Now, St. Patrick's Day has looked a lot different.
What is it again, Andrew?
Gnocchi.
Gnocchi.
Oh, my gosh.
Gnocchi. There you go.
Thanks, ChatGPT.
Yeah. Thank you.
Did you even have a bottle of suds or anything for St. Patrick's Day?
It was really crowded at this bar. I just walked in there, and I just said to the guy, what's everybody order? Most people get the spicy pig. It's this pizza with a little thing. Mm. And I drank a beer, and I went back to the hotel room. But prior to that, the day before, when I checked into this nice hotel, I go in there, and it's 9 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, well, we don't normally have check-in till 4. Yeah. I have been up all night. I got this flight early. I haven't slept at all. I said, is there any place I can just, like, lay down? We'll have your room as quickly as we can. Okay, I'm very tired. I'm just going to go out. So I go out to the pool, and I've got a pair. This is exactly what I'm wearing, the same clothes, 3 days.
Oh, nice. Sure.
So I don't look so great, and I've got a leather jacket on, and I get a couple of towels, and I lay them down on this chair, and I'm laying. And so I do not look like anybody else at this fancy hotel.
Yeah.
I look like a homeless person, and the security guard comes up to me twice. Sir, are you okay? I was like, I'm waiting for my room. But I look like a homeless person because I got my bag, which is this broken down backpack, and I've got towels wrapped around me. And then I'm like, I got to get my room. Are you staying here as a guest? Not yet. I don't have my room yet. I'm getting a room. Can I ask for your name? I said, geez, got to get my room. So I go back in. Now it's 11:30. The woman goes, Mr. Curley, I'm so sorry for the delay. We have your room. You're going to be in room 816. I said, okay, so I get my backpack. I go up to 816. Boop, the door opens, and there's a guy standing there, nude, in the room. And he goes like this. Hey, what are you doing in here? I'm naked. And I'm like, and he's like 10 feet. I can see he's naked. He doesn't even do that. Like, covered his parts.
He's like, he wanted you to see.
Hey, I'm naked. And I was like, I know. And I go, I don't think this is your room. I hope not. His stuff's all over the bed. So I'm like, close the door. I go back down. I go, I don't think this is my room. I think there's some naked guy up there. She's like, oh, okay. She goes back out of the thing. And then, very sorry about that, sir. You're going to be room in 610. Room 610.
Wow.
But I was careful when I...
Yeah. Before you shut the door, you said, may your heart be light and happy. May your smile be big and wide. And may your pockets always have a coin or two inside.
Yeah, everybody's always Irish ones. I did 23.
That's not a bad Irish accent, by the way. Was it subpar?
I went to 23andMe. I found I'm 99% Irish. And I know the 1% of me is holding me back from really succeeding in life. That's the problem.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, because my grandfather came over from Galway, and I told this story before. So don't play that, Andrew! I was studying to be in this play called Philadelphia, Here I Come, and we all had to learn a Bundoran accent, Malahide and a Bundoran accent. So we all went to this audio digital dialect class at Villanova to learn these dialects. So I'm working on the Bundoran or the Malahide accent, when I forget what it was. So during the summer, I was practicing. I'm walking around Philadelphia. I lived in Philly at the time. And I go to this outdoor, like, flea market thing. Mm-hmm. And I see a telephone, an old telephone. And that'd be kind of fun. I could turn it into a lamp or something. So I walked up. I said, haven't you watched for the phone? And the woman goes,
oh, nice.
By the phone. I said, excuse me. She said, you want the phone? I said, yeah. I'm thinking, she's got an Irish accent. She goes, where are you from? I said,
Kilkenny.
I'm at Bundoran. She goes, oh my God, my husband's from Bundoran. Hold on.
Oh, no.
Daniel. He's from Bundoran.
Abort.
Come back. He's from Daniel. Come. He's from Bundoran. And this guy walks up, oh my God, you're from Bundoran. I was like, yeah. No.
But I lost my memory.
He goes, what school did you go to? I said, where do you think I went? He goes, was only St. Catherine's and Pat's. I'm like, bah. Now at this point, I'm like, where'd you go? And he's like, I went to Pat's. I go, oh, I went to Catherine. And he goes, oh. So nice. Now I save that.
Well done.
And then he's like, what street do you live on? He's like, the streets are probably like six streets. And I'm like, and I'm like trying to really, now I'm listening. I'm like, whoa, this guy's got a real Bundoran accent. So I'm asking him questions to try to get, so I could really hear somebody doing the accent. He's so excited. His wife, he's got his arm around his wife because he wants to meet another Irishman from Bundoran.
Of course.
And I'm like, how is good? Take St. Catharines, you know, so and so. What church you go to? He's like, what do you think I went? He goes, oh, you went to St. Catherine? I'm like, yeah. He goes, my brother was there. I was like, ah! I don't know. I gotta get away. I gotta get away. And I'm like, run away. I can't find an excuse. Wait, what's your number? We should talk. And oh my God, I'm just running away from the guy.
I drank too many guineas in my youth. I don't remember.
And then Paul Moore from the Abbey Theater, he's an Irishman, comes to have us do the read through. He flies in, he's gonna direct the play.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all like, by the time I got back, my father wasn't there anymore. And he goes, whoa, 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 whoa. Why is everybody doing a Swedish accent? Because as far as he was concerned, it didn't sound right. We said, we've been working on this accent for like 3 months. No accents. Terrible accents. Terrible. But everybody tries to slip the little Irish stuff in there. Come on now. Huh?
And that, dear listeners, is news you can use for your Monday.
There you go. Well, how about you tell the story about the gnocchi again?
And now you know
that's gnocchi.
The rest of the story.
There you go. All right. Got it?
Get it.
Oh, my friend wrote in. Sounds like one of your stories, talking about the guy making up the other thing.
You're not an apple shiner.
Screw you, Fred.
Yeah.
No need to gild the lily.
There you go. Buc-ee's Auto Service Centers with 16 locations, a place to take the car of yours. The Buc-ee's, we're pretty sure they're 54 years now. We haven't figured that out yet, but whatever it is, they've been around for a long time doing a great job. The only way you stay in business for a long time is doing a great job. That's Buc-ee's Auto Service Centers. All right. The amazing AI, they say when it comes to tech, every 18 months, it accelerates its development. And you can see it when AI started, then all of a sudden, bang, bang, bang. The development's happening so fast that people are like, wow, this is amazing. Where are we going to go next? So it looks like now AI and chat can make a pop song for you.
This story is very disconcerting to me, very unnerving. As a musician who's been playing guitar since I was 12 years old, I've attempted to write songs over the years. I've been in tribute bands. I've been in cover bands. But there's always been the human element. Even if I'm working with a drum machine or some kind of synthesizer, there has to be a human behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John, I'm going to get spiritual for a second. My dad would always say one of the reasons he knew God existed is because humans have music.
Uh-huh.
There's a transcendent, spiritual, mysterious, even magical quality to music that it's just hard to put your finger on. And if you think about it, what it boils down to is just rearranging the raw materials of sound. And yet it produces this unfathomable beauty in some instances. And now it appears in the future we're going to outsource that to machines. That's why this story is so troubling to me. So we're all familiar with ChatGPT.
Yes, yes.
Where you could say, hey, write me a resume, and the machine will do it for you. Well, this is next level creativity. So what happens is you can get on this website called Suno, and you could say something like, hey, Suno, write me a song, an indie pop song, about a caveman who's making fun of tech nerds of the future. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Joe has the sample.
Is it the Wonka song or the Lemon song? Which one?
Yeah, which one is it?
They're both in there. You take
okay, well, let's do the Lemon one. This is you type in, hey, write me a song about someone who owns a lemon factory and got rich off of it, and it's an evil corporate overlord. And the program goes, okay, give me 5 seconds, and here you go.
Dear Casey, has anyone ever written a song about a lemon? Well, the answer is yes.
A machine has
now. And here it comes in now at number 2, the Lemon Song.
Okay, for this prompt, I'm saying write a song about going from rags to riches and becoming the largest supplier of lemons. You own the lemon market and have a lemon monopoly. You are a rich, evil, lemon fat cat. All right, go for it. We're really going to push this thing to its limits today. Let's see our Lemon Empire song.
From rags to riches, I rose from the dirt. A lemon in hand, my fortune's dessert. I squeezed out the tang, unleashed my
John. I mean, there's enough nuance in the tune of like breaks, and oh, you can hear him pulling on the bass strings. It sounds like a real human being singing. If I was hearing this on FM radio, I'd be immediately fooled that this was a real person. When it's
how long did it take for them to do that?
It takes about 5 or 10 seconds once you type in a description, and you can write anything. So say you wanted to write a song about Willy Wonka and your obsession with Willy Wonka memorabilia. Ready, go, Suno.
Pop song about obsessing over Willy Wonka and being a creepy collector of Wonka memorabilia. And the singer also thinks that Wonka is real. All right, this one.
But I can see the what pattern they're taking. Ba 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 ba. I even got a little bit of a costume
in the closet. Cut off this robot. That doesn't sound that much different than the latest Carly Rae Jepsen, Katy Perry, like top 40 hit. It truly doesn't. And maybe that says something more about modern music than anything. Because
okay, I just told it to write a folk song about an Irish man who embellishes stories at parties and loves potatoes. It's ready. It took about 5 seconds. You want to hear it?
Yeah, is it clean?
I would imagine. Okay, here we go.
In Dublin town, there's a man I know, with a twinkle in his eye and a heart all aglow. Paddy O'Malley, the life of the feet, the feet, with stories so grand you'd think they were fate. He spins tall tales of leprechauns and gold, of mystical creatures that legends have told. But there's one thing he loves like no other can.
It's bringing a tear to my eye. I'm thinking about the Cliffs of Moher all of a sudden.
The pride of his land.
The humble potato.
Oh, Paddy O'Malley, the jolly old soul.
Potato.
His tales and his taters, they'll warm your soul.
Potato.
All right, I mean, it's pretty incredible.
Is it not creeping you guys out, though, like it's creeping me out? I mean, what is the future here? What is this dystopian nightmare we're looking into?
I sent Joe this.
I got it.
These four guys are musicians, and they just demonstrate that every pop song uses the same four chords.
Right.
And they demonstrate that.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jordan.
I'm Lee.
And I'm Benny.
We are the Axis of Awesome.
And I'm Benny.
Yeah, we've been a comedy rock band for close to 40...
Move it forward a little bit and they'll demonstrate. You can demonstrate
four chords.
Four chords. Watch it. Every single song is four chords. Ready? Here we go.
Trying to say...
Do you recognize this?
Yeah, that is Don't Stop Believing by Journey.
Watch.
Very original.
There's a few more
song.
That fit. Check it out.
My life is brilliant. My love is pure. I saw an angel. Of that I'm sure.
Well, that's just two songs that are similar. That's
forever
not
young.
Three
I
songs.
I won't be forever young. I won't hesitate no more.
Same chords.
No more. It cannot wait. I'm yours. This is the way you left me.
See?
I get the picture.
It's an incredible video. It's worth watching.
Yeah, and they go on and on. They play all the songs.
It's, maybe they're making the case that classical music is a superior art form to modern pop.
G, C, D.
Yeah, no, on and on and on. No, I know the chords.
That Suno is incredible, though. And the robotic voice, that will be perfectly tuned in probably a month.
And what's
I'm trying to process this, though.
It's time saving. It's all
time
advances.
Saving?
Listen, Bernie Sanders wants to cut the workforce, the work week down to 32 hours. Not so that we have more time.
It's just very troubling to me, John, that more and more we're interacting with elements of society that are not human. And can
but
no
why
one
don't
see
you
the
go back 30 years ago when somebody had a percussion instrument? We went from
there's
you
still
know,
a human banging on that thing,
but not anymore. Not anymore. I mean, you had skins that were poured, you know, over a box, but then they got rid of that. Now it's all electronic, and you just press the button, and all of the stuff is all being generated.
But here's something we're also
does it make it any worse?
One of the aspects of music creation is community. You come together as a band. and what's on the rise right now, depression, mental illness, isolation, and it's all because we're finding more and more ways that we think make life easier. And in a way, yes, it's making things less difficult and more comfortable, but there's a trade-off, and what we're losing is the richness and beauty of all these activities that used to be like community-based and communal-focused and things like that. And music is going to be just another tragedy in a long line of this trend. That's my two cents. I came up with that on the spot.
No, I get it. But you're concerned that art is being just commercialized to the point that there's no human being involved.
So sit alone in your mom's basement, push a button, and you've written a song. Well, but what have you sacrificed in the process of that?
Right.
That's what I'm concerned about.
Right. It's the cotton candy of everything.
Yes. It's superficial. Everything's done at a surface level and by yourself.
But then you could be like the guy, the rich man north of Richmond, who comes up with that song. And then where is he right now?
I don't know. I think conservatives found out he hated both sides equally and he lost his mojo.
And that was over on him. You know who will always be number one? They can never replace him? Me. Them having me, is that a good thing?
Say what?
Cairo 7 having me. They've got
you. That's a great thing. Good. And is this an AI-generated song we're listening to here, Andrew?
No.
That's the real deal? Never. There's human beings behind that?
Absolutely.
Imagine that.
Absolutely. This is an odd story. This poor guy in Montreal returns from vacation. Did you punch a hole in it during the commercial break that he left like 2 years ago or something like that?
This is a bizarre one, yeah.
He gets a letter from the Quebec government, Quebec. It's Quebec.
Okay.
Saying that he's dead. But how can he be dead? He went away and came back, but here's CTV. It says,
a Montreal man returned from his extended vacation to some shocking news. The Quebec government thinks he's dead. Olivia O'Malley explains.
Following the death of Futuro's Nick, we hereby inform you that a fine of $1,092 remains unpaid.
Nick Futuro still can't believe he received this letter. In it, Quebec's Justice Ministry is hoping to collect money from his estate for a speeding ticket. Problem is, Futuros is very much alive.
I was laughing. I said, wow, that's news to me.
He got a speeding ticket back in 2022.
Okay.
The 34-year-old says he contested it and then left for an extended vacation in Costa Rica.
Completely forgot about it. Came back and I got this letter in the mail.
A 14-page letter with a government logo. Futuro said he was taken aback and is thankful his mother never saw it.
If she would have opened this and I was off on my travels, God forbid, you know, she would say, what's going on?
Futuro says he tried to call the government to prove that he is actually alive, but wasn't able to speak to anyone.
It's very hard to get through. Very hard to get through.
Sometimes it happens to have some mistakes like this. But it's really, really rare.
Lawyer William Corbatley says Futuros needs to declare that he's alive and quickly.
It won't only affect this traffic ticket. It would affect all of his, succession and everything.
Futuro says he just wants to prove that he is not a dead man walking.
My next step is just to figure this out and tell them, look, maybe there was a mistake, a typo. Who knows?
The Justice Ministry did not reply to our interview request by deadline. Futuros just hopes it gets cleared up soon. Olivia O'Malley, CTV News.
Oh, Olivia O'Malley. Working on a St. Paddy's Day.
When I read the headline of this, I thought the upshot of the story was man declared dead, he's very much alive. When the real fulcrum of it is the guy's been gone since 2022 and he calls that an extended vacation in Costa Rica. The most I've ever had off is two weeks. This guy's...
He's Canadian.
Skips town for 2 years?
Dear Casey, has a man ever gone away to Costa Rica on an extended vacation and then come back to write a number one song? Well, the answer is yes, and here's that song now.
Thank you, Andrew.
declared dead.
Jeez. While that story was running, I gave it to Joe, and Joe plugged that in. So we asked for a story about
that's
a man.
That's right, Canada. Suck on that.
Yeah. So went away to
blame
went away
Canada.
The thing wrote the 5 seconds and wrote a pop song about the guy dying and getting his speeding kicked in.
So oh, Canada, what have you done?
Making its way up the Billboard charts now.
And it just upsets you even more.
It made me angry listening to that.
Can you stop?